ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயம். ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயம். ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாயம். So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, Text 41. Pare Brahmani Anirje Bhagavati Akhilatmani Yuktatmani Afalam Asan Apunyasyeva Satkriyam Pare Brahmani Anirdeshye. Pare Brahmani Anirdeshye Bhagavatyakilatmani. Bhagavatyakilatmani Yuktatmai aphalat asan Yuktamani aphalat asan Apnuyasyeva satkriyaha Apunyasyeva satkriyaha Pare Brahmaniya nirdeshe Bhagavatya Kilatmani Yuktat Mani Afaladasan Apunyasyeva Satkriyaha Pare Brahmanya Nidyeshe Bhagavatya Kilatmani Yukta Mani Afaladasan Apunyasyeva Satkriyaha. Mataji. Pare in the Supreme Brahmani Absolute Anirdeshye, who is not perceivable by the senses. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akhilatmani, the super soul of everyone. Yuktatmani, on he whose mind was engaged, Prahlad. Afalaha, without effect. Asan, were. Apunyasya, of a person who has no assets in pious activities. Eva, like satkriyaha, good activities, like performance of sacrifices or austerities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus, the weapons of the demons had no tangible effect upon Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was constantly and fully engaged in thought of Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Govinda Parirambitaha. Prahlad Maharaj engaged himself always in meditation, and thus he was protected by Govinda. As a small child on the lap of his father or a mother, he is fully protected. A devotee in all conditions is protected by the Supreme Lord. Does this mean that when Prahlad Maharaj was attacked by the demons, the Rakshasas, Govinda was also attacked by the demons? This is not possible. There have been many attempts by the demons to hurt or kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he cannot be injured by any material means because he is always in transcendence. Therefore the words Pare Brahmani are used here. The demons, the Rakshasas, can neither see nor touch the Supreme Lord, although they may superficially think that they are striking the Lord's transcendental body with their material weapons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this verse as Anirdeshya. We cannot understand him to be in a particular place, for he is all pervasive. Moreover, he is Akhilatma, the active principle of everything. Even material weapons, those who cannot understand the position of the Lord, are unfortunate. They may think that they can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, but all their attempts will be futile. The Lord knows how to deal with them. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalaka chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashta Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Viranta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishya Shashunyavari Paschati Reshtarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Garadara Shusari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pare Brahmanya Nideshe Bhagavatya Kalatmani Yuktatmani Apalasan Apunya Sevita Apunyasyeva Satkriyaha. Even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. I will just read the previous verse because it doesn't have purport, so I guess we skipped it, right? So we'll just read it through. The demons, Rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu, thus began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaj's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, and reddish coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him! Pierce him!" They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see the condition of Prahlad Maharaj, who had been placed in such a threatening position that nobody could actually conceive that he would be able to retain this kind of consciousness that he is exemplifying at the present moment that we are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know when we are faced with fear, we can all claim that yes, we are fearless, that there is nothing that can affect our consciousness, that we are fully Krishna conscious. And there's so many different kinds of thought come in the mind when we are situated in a very peaceful environment, in a very peaceful condition. But actually when the real test comes, then our reactions become completely different. I don't know if you have noticed this, but you may be feeling sometimes very confident, but actually when the situations are not so favorable, then that confidence can be very drastically shaken. I had just recent experience. We had some discussions about some subtle things and whatever. There are some reason for it. Something happened. Anyway, but the point was, when the night came and the mind is filled with all these kind of thoughts about subtle beings and stuff, you can feel that uneasiness. And not so, you're not anymore so fearless, so to say, in a kind of dark conditions that might be there. And actually, if you meditate on something that is inauspicious, those kind of things are very much present. And you can also feel them. I mean, I can feel, when there's some subtle being comes, I can feel the energy, my hair stands on that. I know when some kind of subtle fellow comes and tries to disturb. So, but then the reaction is, you may think, nothing can harm me, this and that. But still, some fear will be there. Some kind of anxiety will be there. It's not the same thing. So where are we in comparison to Prahlad Maharaj? Was absolutely undisturbed. Just imagine, even if you can feel something, you become a little bit disturbed. But what to speak if you see something horrible, like these rakshasas and demons have been described, like having coppery hair and with fangs practically and teeth in this way, that way, and all terrifying. That's when we see diorama of Ajamil, for example, like Yamadutas. Just imagine seeing some of them. You may say, I'm a devotee, and they're also servants of Yamaraj. They're not supposed to touch devotees. Nothing will happen. But just imagine facing them. It's terrifying and anxiety. It's very, very fearful condition. But we see, on contrary, Prahlad Maharaj was absolutely undisturbed. Where did he get that kind of faith? Where did he get that kind of confidence? Where did he get that kind of power, as Hiranyakashipu was questioning later on, that he wasn't affected in any way? So that this is something that definitely points out to the nature of a pure devotee who is absolutely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was blissful. There was no moment in his life that he didn't exhibit that blissfulness in Krishna consciousness. He was absolutely undisturbed by any kind of condition that it might be placed in front of him, or any kind of situation that he might be, placed in. It was completely transcendental. So from his appearance practically, he didn't fear anything at all. He wasn't in anxiety because of anything at all. Why we are placed in anxieties? Because we are attached to something that we know that we actually cannot protect. This is why all the anxieties arise. Of course, anxiety for Krishna, that's a different thing. But then again, we also leave it up to Krishna, whether some result will manifest or not. We do our best. So that's a different type of anxiety. But anxiety to try to protect something that is temporary, that kind of anxiety can be very difficult to bear. And it is very difficult to bear. So, but Prahlad Maharaj, we see, wasn't in any kind of anxiety. He was completely surrendered to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't have any kind of independence on his own. This is a very, actually if you think a little bit about it, it's a very, very exalted state. This is Vaishnava Prabhupada, and whatever Prahlad Maharaj gave us, he's the Mahajan. Whatever he gave us, it's such so instructive. It's so important that Srila Prabhupada actually so many times he quoted from Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, that he used his verses so many times to point out to different philosophical things. And therefore even that booklet, small book has been issued, Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada considered it very, very important, since Prahlad Maharaj is a very exalted devotee. So that kind of stage is something that we have to aspire for. This is why we have the example of Prahlad Maharaj. It's not definitely we are so far and it's not easy, but this is something that at least we can look forward to become fearless in spite of any kind of obstacles that we face on our path of devotional service. And that requires surrender. That requires complete faith in Krishna, knowing that whether something appears to be good, positive, or whether something appears bad or negative, it just doesn't matter. From the absolute point, there is no difference. Anything in relationship to Krishna is good. And anything that is not in relationship to Krishna is bad. This is the definition of good and bad from the Vaishnava point of view, from the Vedic point of view. Not that if something is pleasing to the senses, it's good, and something that it's not, it's bad. This is materialistic definition. So the whole point, how to now come to that stage, how to come to that level, that requires, of course, practice. That requires the serious endeavor and on the path of devotional service. And as Prahlad Maharaj, he had that faith, which he achieved by the mercy of his guru Narada Muni, who also wasn't affected by any kind of circumstances in any way. It's completely transcendental. Like Narada Muni also, of course, Narada Muni has a transcendental body. There's a story how once when Ravana was on his conquest of the universe, he came across Narada Muni and he wasn't pleased by the instructions received from Narada Muni because, of course, he was creating disturbance in the universe. And he called upon his sword, Chandrahasa, to pierce Narada Muni, cut him to pieces. But the sword just went through Narada Muni's body. And Ravana was in wonderstruck. He said, "Wow, you know, how do you do that? You know, can you teach me? I also want to have such kind of a body. I also want to be immune to, you know, different kinds of weapons like this." So then Narada Muni just laughed. He said, "You cannot have that kind of body, not in this lifetime at least." Because Narada Muni has a transcendental body. Nothing can harm him. But even if somebody has material body, we see actually that it's a matter of consciousness. It's incredible. It's amazing how consciousness and how subtle can affect the growth. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Maybe if we examine a little bit, we can understand how even from that kind of conditioned state, but a little more subtle platform also, matter won't be disturbed, matter won't be affected. We know about people, like I was in, sometime I was preaching in Salem, in Tamil Nadu. They have a Mariam festival every year. And during that festival, they worship Durga, of course. and they have their different kinds of festivities and ceremonies and all kinds of stuff. They walk on fire, they don't get burned. They pierce their cheeks, you know, with all kinds of, you know, spears and stuff. They hang there, you know, they get the hooks on their body and stuff. They hang on the different swings. And there is a procession going on through the city also like this, you can see it. Or they use the sword, they pierce the, you know, parts of the body and stuff. And there is no blood coming. That's interesting stuff. There's no blood coming. Of course, those who are less experienced, then maybe some blood will be flowing. But essentially, you know, you see the swords, like six swords in the back, you know, completely piercing the body, going through like this. And there's no effect on them. There's absolutely no effect. How is that possible? Because they're trained. It's inconceivable what kind of power just the mind can have over matter. That's the whole science behind it. How subtle can affect the growth? If you're in a particular state of mind, you won't be affected. You know, mind can make heaven of hell and hell out of heaven. So many things. Anyway, there are so many different kinds of examples. You will find people who eat glass, or people who walk on the glass. Or there are so many things, you know, so many material conditions that, you know, ordinarily everybody would be affected by. But there are people who train their minds, they don't get affected. So even from a material point of view, from that kind of material consciousness, which is little subtle consciousness, the way to regulate, you know, the state of the mind, you know, you don't get materially affected. It's so many different kinds of conditions. So then what to speak about certain type of consciousness when you're conscious of Krishna, where you're completely transcendental, you don't get affected. You don't get affected by any kind of situation that you might be placed in. Then we may wonder, somebody may challenge, how is that possible? How is that possible? Of course, there's like, you know, from that kind of material point of view, when you use some weapons or something, how come somebody may not be affected? Like in the story of Haridas Thakur, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on, after he was saved from 22 marketplaces, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Prakrut, actually I took all these beatings on my back, look at my back. And there were all different kinds of straps and things and wounds that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually showed to Haridas Thakur. So in one sense we can say, by that kind of consciousness, Krishna is protecting a devotee, you know, by placing his body in between whatever, you know, is being afflicted upon the devotee and the devotee himself. So that might be one of the explanations that we might give. But also devotee, or another one, as I said, having a transcendental body, that it doesn't get affected, you know, by any kind of material conditions. It's just a matter of consciousness also. That's something that we can state. Like Srila Prabhupada. There are two interesting examples in the case of Srila Prabhupada that I can recollect. There was that story that Smarahari Prabhu, is Prabhupada's disciple, he traveled with Yashodananda Swami and Achyutananda Swami. When they first came to Udupi, and all the followers of Madhva Sampradaya were very surprised, were these Western people, you know, the sannyasis traveling around, you know, they were very pleased that actually somebody is following, you know, process of bhakti, and there were some programs taking place there, so they gave to devotees, you know, to lead kirtan. And of course, Achyutananda Swami, and you know, they were experts, they were like amazing. And they were pleasantly surprised, and they were very appreciative. But they wouldn't give class to the devotees. Their philosophy, they didn't have so much confidence in devotees. Which actually turned out later on, after they had the discussions, and they were thoroughly, practically defeated in so many ways, and so many arguments. But of course, they were very positive, absolutely. But what was the greatest of the appreciations that they had was that actually when they heard from the devotees how they became a devotee and how Srila Prabhupada came to the West, that actually Srila Prabhupada wasn't affected in any way by the circumstances that he found in the West. And then everybody knew what the West is, Lechanyavan culture. That Prabhupada wasn't affected in any way, because their conception was, according to Vairveda, the subtle body extends for at least like 3 feet. And any kind of influence, any kind of environment that you're in, it's going to affect you. So Srila Prabhupada, in such a circumstance, living there for months and months and years practically, and he wasn't affected by any kind of atmosphere that is contaminating atmosphere that was there. That's why even for Madhva Sampradaya, the point was that essentially the principle is that nobody should cross the ocean. Because if you cross the ocean, you will be placed in such kind of contaminating circumstance that you may fall down from your vows of sannyas or brahminical standards or whatever it might be. So they were so surprised that Srila Prabhupada wasn't affected in any way. And they were wondering, how is that possible? And on the contrary, actually, Srila Prabhupada did affect everybody else. So this is something that they appreciated very much. That Prabhupada had a potency, that he was so pure actually that he wasn't affected by any kind of circumstance that he was placed in. And there was another interesting story when Srila Prabhupada once came from Africa with Brahmananda Prabhu, was preaching in Kenya. And then one of the devotees forgot that vaccination card. And anybody who comes from Africa, or like sometimes I have that experience, you know, they go through torture, you know, sometimes it's like really once they send me in Europe, when you come, you know, you come from any tropical country or something, then you have to go for all different kinds of examinations and all the tests and, you know, all different kinds of medical stuff, this and that. So they make sure that you're not affected by any disease, contagious disease or this and that, you know. Oh, it's like, it's just like hell. Once I've entered this, I'm like really so, such a waste of time and energy. Anyway, So Prabhupada also once got stranded here on the airport, here in Mumbai, when he came to Mumbai, just because the devotee forgot that card, vaccination card, and devotee who was accompanying Srila Prabhupada asked, and Prabhupada also was inquisitive, you know, how long we have to stay here. So that he replied that actually that security or whoever was in immigration department, they said that, you know, he will have to stay for a few days until they, you know, confirm that he is not infected. And then Srila Prabhupada shouted, "I can never be infected. I'm a pure devotee of the Lord." He was very bold. He was like very, very adamant, very determined. He said, "I can never be affected. I'm a pure devotee of the Lord. Nothing can affect me." And of course, definitely there was no infection. There was nothing. So that is the condition of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada could never be affected by anything. This is, we see, that is the power of the pure devotee. He's not affected by any kind of circumstances, any kind of condition, anything that actually any ordinary person would be affected. And that is the case with anyone who sincerely takes to the practice of devotional service and actually comes to that level of being a pure devotee of the Lord. Of course, for us, as I said, this is something that we still have to, you know, it's a long way to go, but it's not impossible. And Prahlad Maharaj is also showing us through his example that it is possible, but we have to understand that by Madmana Bhava Madbhaktoma Yajimam Namaskuru Mamevashyasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosime. That by surrendering unto Krishna, bowing down to Krishna, really taking him as the whole and shelter of everything, that we can come to that level of consciousness, that we cannot be affected by anything. And we will not be affected by anything, but just understanding, surrendering completely to Him, worshipping, by worshipping Him, by practicing the process of devotional service. Why? Because everything that happens in the material world is absolutely under Krishna's control. Mahadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara hetuna nena kontya jagar viparivadate. Everything is in Maya Aksha, under my supervision, in my eyes, everything. Nothing happens in this world that actually it's not under direct control or indirect control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we may say this is something that, you know, it may appear inauspicious. How can devotee be placed in such a circumstance where, you know, he's threatened by weapons? But devotee doesn't care. Even if his body is destroyed in any way or harmed in any way, devotee doesn't care. That's the whole point. That's the matter of consciousness. He has a long-term vision. He doesn't look, you know, something superficially. There is a saying, you know, because I'm looking at the trees, I don't see the forest behind. You know, many people get stuck. It's a conception, it's the idea that when you look at let's say you have a forest and mountain, you have a very beautiful, you know, scenery or whatever, you know, but you don't see any of that beauty, you don't see any of that, you can't relish because you're just stuck, your vision is stuck just on some trees. Maybe one be broken, one be burning, one might be burning, one might be like this, one be... So you're just seeing something, you know, initial, something just in front of you that is completely clouding in a way your vision, your further, you know, long-term vision. So the idea is that, you know, whatever happens temporarily, if this distracts us from our, you know, long-term vision, long-term goal, then you know, we won't advance so quickly that this will be something that will distract us from the real aim that we're supposed to attain in spiritual life. As that particular kind of short-term vision is distracting us from, you know, the most beautiful, you know, enchanting vision that we can have. So Prahlad Maharaj had that long-term vision. He just saw the hand of Krishna in everything. And just because at some point and at some moment something appeared very inauspicious, he wasn't hampered by that. He wasn't disturbed by that. He didn't care. He understood ultimately under protection of Krishna. And whatever happens is good for me on the long run. Because he had that surrender. We know there are six principles, six items of surrender given in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulasya. Sankalpa pratikulyasya varjano rakshishati iti vishvaso kupritvam varanam tata atanikshe pakarpanye shatvidi what is that last word? Shatvidi priti sharanaga shatvidi sharanaga, what is in between? One word is missing. I'm missing one word. Anyway, Shadvida Sharanagati, something like this, right? Anybody knows? No, fine. Shadvida Sharanagati. So the whole point is accepting something favorable for Krishna consciousness, rejecting something that is unfavorable, and ultimately, Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso, taking shelter and being under protection, Raksha, under protection of Krishna. This is the point, having that faith that Krishna will always protect us. Because if we take shelter of anything material, we know it's going to be disappointing because it's temporary and ultimately, you know, we won't derive any kind of benefit from that. There's no way of deriving any kind of benefit from something that is temporary, something that may in a moment turn to be absolutely negative. Like we may, you know, take shelter in wealth, we may take shelter in beauty, we may take shelter in relationships, we may take shelter in so many things that apparently and initially may look very favorable and very positive, but later on they may turn completely, you know, negative and completely distracting, as I say, and dissatisfying in so many different kinds of ways. So this is why Prahlad Maharaj, he has a long-term vision. No matter what happens, no matter what kind of circumstances they are, he was always taking shelter of Krishna, knowing that Krishna is absolutely there for him to protect him at any moment, in any circumstance. So this is that vision of a pure devotee. We all know this story. It's a very famous story of the king who was playing and actually sharpening the arrow, and he chopped the tip of his finger. So that story very wonderfully illustrates, and then when his minister said, you know, he inquired, you know, what is this? You know, and the minister said, everything happens, whatever happens, it's for some good, and it's all mercy of the Lord. And then the king got so upset that he threw him in the jail. Say, how can this be a mercy of the Lord? He didn't have the long way, he didn't understand. So then when he went hunting, and he was captured by the tribal people who wanted to sacrifice him to the goddess Kali, and they already dressed him in kind of animal sacrificial dress, prepared him nicely for the sacrifice. But then suddenly they figured out that, you know, he's not eligible because he doesn't have all the... He had so many lakshanas required for being sacrificed, so to say, but then they discovered that he didn't have the tip of the finger. And so they released him. So then the king realized, yes, actually everything happens for something, some good cause. Everything is the mercy of the Lord. And then when he returned back, he inquired from his minister, but then how is it, you know, if everything is for some good, then how is it that I put you in the jail and you were suffering and you were basically, you know, had to bear all my chastisement and all this inconvenience? And the minister replied, actually, if I would have come with you, then they would have, and which I usually do, accompanying you on every of your journeys, then because they wouldn't have sacrificed you, but they would sacrifice me. Because I don't have any defect. So this is how I have been saved, so by being put in the jail. So ultimately everything is good, everything is beneficial. It's just the example which illustrates that long-term vision, seeing things in a more positive way, in a long-term way. So this is what devotees do. They have no any kind of hankering, they have no any kind of expectation, they have nothing in relationship to this material world. They know everything is temporary. They just see, the pure devotees just see how we can utilize everything in the service of Krishna for the benefit of others, for somehow trying to please Krishna. This is what actually material energy is all meant for. It's meant to be served and it's meant to be used in the Krishna service. And this is why devotees are utilizing everything in Krishna service. And this is that vision that Prahlada Maharaj had. And although being placed in such kind of inconvenient situation, he was undeterred. He was undeterred from his meditation on Krishna. That's why he was always blissful. Always blissful, always Krishna conscious. As we said, from the beginning. Because he had that knowledge, he had that realization. He had full faith that Krishna will protect him. And that's the very meaning, it's interesting, of the word Prahlad. Prahlad also means transcendental happiness, absolute happiness. Prahlad means one which points out to that happiness. And pra means Rupena. What is that? Pratishta Rupena, yeah. That means the very form, the very embodiment of that transcendental happiness. So it's interesting. So his very name was, you know, exemplifying his state of consciousness. That he wasn't disturbed, he wasn't affected by anything external. And he had full conviction and faith in Krishna. So, of course, we also can strive towards that kind of position. And we can also, to some extent, have a realization of being unaffected. It's just a matter of consciousness. Of course, we have to be careful. Are we really conscious that something's not going to affect us or not? I have one personal experience that I wasn't affected by something that was supposed to, in general, affect everyone. At least initially, maybe, well, still, I would say, I would, you know, accept some Mahaprasadam that might be even stale or maybe for a few days or whatever might be the case with the Mahaprasadam that maybe some devotees would reject on the basis of, you know, being spoiled, having some fungus and this and that. But somehow or other, I had that conviction that Mahaprasadam is always Mahaprasadam, no matter what kind of condition it is in. And interestingly, by Krishna's mercy, at least till now, let's hope it continues like this, that by cultivating that kind of consciousness, I never had any difficulties in accepting Mahaprasadam, which has been, so to say, materially affected. And there are two instances. My Guru Maharaj had hepatitis C, and I would take Mahaprasadam. All the many other devotees wouldn't take Mahaprasadam, because there is every chance that you can also be affected by it. Till now, nothing happened. I once, Niranjan Swami, I also remember, somehow there was some opportunity, and he was affected by some contagious disease. And there was an opportunity to take, there was one devotee, Madhavendra Puri also, he was serving him. And somehow or other we snatched the Mahaprasada. I took that Mahaprasada, nothing happened. It's just a matter of consciousness actually. It's a simple example, simple realization that I have personally, how taking shelter of Krishna, of course, in one sense we shouldn't be foolish, But I don't know how to explain this kind of state, but at least in my case, I really had that conviction. You know, we shouldn't be like, you know, like going into the cage with a tiger and say, you know, like Krishna's going to protect us and stuff. Not in that kind of consciousness. That's not the idea. I mean, we should be intelligent. But it's just sometimes a matter of consciousness. It's just really sometimes that kind of state that will protect us actually from any kind of contamination that it might happen, any kind of, so to say, negative effect that ordinarily might have happened. So at least that's my humble realization that I have in that regard. So that state, definitely like the state of Prahlad Maharaj, if you understand that whatever happens, even if ordinarily it looks very inauspicious or negative, if you see on the long run, actually it's something that is most auspicious and most positive for the devotees. So therefore we have to pray to Krishna and to the Vaishnavas for their shelter, for their mercy. And then whatever condition we might be placed in, we won't be affected by it. Even if the body is gone, it doesn't matter. But it's temporary anyway. But at least we won't be affected. We won't get disturbed and we can continue, you know, performing our devotional service under any kind of circumstance. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.